Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It is draft day. We just finished up with the preeminent draft expert. Lance 4.0 is out. That is his fourth and final first-round mock. So, if you want an update on what the Texans are going to do, Lance has provided it for you on the show and on his mock. He's not alone in thinking that the Texans may be making some moves. We talked about it yesterday. Hey, it's going pretty crappy here as far as sports are concerned. Maybe Nick Caserio could be our only hope. We did not take into account what Peter Lambert was going to be up to yesterday, who provided the city with his fourth quality start of the season. If you're thinking to yourself, haven't they played over 20 games? Isn't four not a great number? You would be correct. Four out of 26 ain't great, but we'll take it. It's split up between four guys. It's Lambert, Hunter Brown, unavailable. Lance McCullers, available. Not pitching great, and Spencer Arrighetti, who is now the team stopper until Hunter Brown comes back in maybe late May or June. So credit to Peter Lambert. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from him because he is rather anonymous when it comes to Astros players. He is one of several guys who we had never heard of for the most part up until the last month or so. But he came out, showed out, and the Astros take a series from the Guardians, and now the Yankees come to town. Some might say this is where the season turns around. Those some are relentlessly hopeful, I would say. But you never know. Well, we thought the Mariners series would jumpstart this team. It didn't go well. Not well at all. Maybe the Yankees, who we have owned in big, important games throughout the last decade, will get this team going. Momentum is the next day starting pitcher. And we'll find out how the momentum goes on Friday. But we'll hear from Peter Lambert. We will hear from Joe Espada.
Too bad it's not Peter Lambert.
Well, he already went. He
Lambert and Arrighetti.
Imagine that as the two guys who have provided us with any joy as far as the starting pitching over the last 3 weeks. Those two. It is what it is, man. So we'll hear from him. We'll hear from Espada on Peter Lambert. And the quote from Dana Brown. Did we talk about that quote from Dana Brown where he said the team will be just fine?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Look, was he wrong? He wasn't wrong yesterday.
For a day, they're fine.
Yordan hit another home run. That's 11 on the year. And then we may get into a conversation about how bad do the Astros have to be to prevent Yordan from winning an MVP? Like, if he keeps it up, not on pace for 70 home runs, whatever he's on pace for, not that level, but if he keeps it up where he is unquestionably the best hitter in baseball, how bad would they have to be to keep him from winning an MVP?
I think at some point they'll have...
Save it.
Okay.
Hey, we got 2 hours.
Okay. I thought we were talking about it right now.
No.
Okay.
Save it. Because we're going to talk about the big thing today, the draft. Can Nick Caserio cook something up to get us excited? Now, he could always just make a trade to put him in a spot to draft a tackle, which, okay, yeah. I guess. But... the people who know, including Lance Erline, expect some movement. Here's Tom Pelissero on what could be a pretty interesting day for the Texans later tonight.
In the back half of round one, it's been abundantly clear for, frankly, the past week that a lot of those teams would prefer to move down, pick up extra picks. That's a byproduct of the fact that teams only have 12 to 15 first-round grades on these players in this draft. Having said that, one team that was particularly aggressive about trying to move down, the Houston Texans, who have been calling for people for weeks, I am told, Red, have started to make calls about moving up potentially into the middle of round one. Could they be potentially targeting additional defensive line help? That will be one to watch, given the fact that Nick Caserio is never shy about moving around the draft board.
So there it is. The first part fits with how we think about Caserio. Oh, they were looking to trade out, trade down. If not completely out of the first round, then lower in the first round while getting a pick in return, and maybe sensing that that wasn't going to be the case, they decided, hey, maybe we need to give up something to get a guy we really think can help us before a run on these guys happens, and now we don't at that position happens, and then we don't get a guy we think can help us. So the thought for some is it'll be a tackle, which would mean you now have a moderately expensive player not starting for you who you signed in free agency, because you brought back Ed Ingram, you signed Wyatt Teller, and you brought in Brayden Smith. He's the least expensive of all of them, Brayden Smith, but he also has the versatility to play guard and tackle. The expectation right now is he is your starting right tackle if Trent Brown doesn't beat him out, who's back as well. Ursary is your left tackle. If you're taking a tackle, and particularly if you're trading up to take a tackle, what does that say? Are you securing your tackle for the future? And can you afford not to play a first-round pick? Are the Texans in a spot, particularly if they trade up, that they could not, that they're fine not playing a first-round pick if it's a tackle? Or are they telling Brayden Smith, hey, you're our kind of expensive swingman, where you can go play guard, which you haven't done since really college, but we think you can do that. Or you can be the backstop if a right tackle we draft doesn't play particularly well. So I was, when I saw some of the names attached to them, if a trade happened, I was like, huh, that wouldn't get me all, hey, I'd be like, Nick, I see you making moves. Not what I was looking for. If you
tackle who may or may not play.
Particularly for a team who doesn't have great luck taking offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's not on your.
It's not what I'm looking for.
On your wish
list. I would go, what's that? The Texans are trading up for a tackle.
Yeah, I'd be ready to order my Kenyon Sadiq jersey.
This is what I'm saying.
I'd be ready.
Maybe you think Casey Concepcion is going to get picked before you get a chance. You're doing that. But if it's for a more, it's been termed like some teams are going to use their first round pick to eat their vegetables. Mm-hmm. Other teams, if they have two, will use one to eat their vegetables. That means taking a lineman, taking an interior player, a big man who can be violent, and then if you have a second pick, you get your dessert by taking a receiver, taking a playmaker, taking a corner, whatever. The Texans feel like a team willing to and loves eating their unseasoned vegetables, like they're meal prepping.
Their vegetables are terrible.
I mean, it's not even the good vegetables. It's not like people can love a carrot, or maybe you like Brussels sprouts because they have bacon jam in the mix. The Texans are more like, you want these green beans out of a can?
Yeah, it's boiled broccoli.
Yeah, those are the vegetables they eat.
No salt, no pepper. Yeah, no. I mean, that's Kenyon Green right there.
That's
a very sensible pick.
It's very sensible to take a guard that people liked.
In 2022, it was very sensible.
Turns out, hey, all the pesticides are on this. No one washed this. This isn't organic. Yeah. What are we doing? If I could predict, if there is a trade, I think a trade is for a sensible vegetable. Hopefully it's not one. Hopefully it's something that you maybe sprinkle a little seasoning on it. You bake it or however you like to prepare your vegetables.
A little butter?
Yeah, something. You don't need to smother it in cheese. I get it. You still want to be healthy. But a little seasoning. I don't need... Shout out to Andrew Carlson. I don't need I don't need green beans with no seasoning.
Although,
on.
Look at the results.
But Andrew, it works.
Yeah.
For the Texans,
no,
I can't predict that it would work.
They have a sleeve of Oreos at 2 a.m. every night.
That's what it looks like when we're not watching.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's how you get those results. Yeah. I mean, Lance threw out there on Twitter, I don't know if he walked it back.
No, if you're talking about the tweet he had.
Yeah, about is it Keldrick?
Keldrick Falk?
Keldrick Falk from Auburn, the pass rusher, right?
So this would be certainly a team strengthening a strength, but also looking out into the future with Will Anderson's deal kicking in as far as the extension in two seasons.
A little bit of a succession.
That is when Danielle Hunter's deal would be up. And now he's been a magician in terms of getting deals from the Texans, but maybe at some point the Texans are like, you know, we're done in the giving multiple defensive ends. You know, maybe they don't want to pay in the same season two DNs in a total of like $90 million.
Yeah, I mean, cap going up, but yeah, probably not.
Maybe not. So that would be something to avoid, and maybe Keldrick Falk would be your answer, where you can give him chances early in his career, particularly his rookie season chances in strictly pass-rushing situations when you want to give one of your best guys a rest or just get them all on the field at the same time, but he wouldn't take over fully until Danielle Hunter's deal is up.
That'd be interesting. I mean, I do generally like it when teams strengthen a strength, like especially if they don't have like some
glaring
huge
hole.
Gaping hole. It's like, yeah, sure. I mean,
and
going up for a pass rusher makes a lot of sense. Like that positional value wise, like that's like a premium position. Like you laid out, like there is some sort of succession plan that's needed, and you know, it seems like maybe a year too early to start doing that, but because Hunter's on the team for 2 years, right?
Yes.
But his deal runs for 2 years.
But if you go by how Lance describes him and his grade for Keldrick Falk, will become a good starter within 2 years. So if it's in line, if that assessment is in line with the Texans' plan, then it's all laid out for you. He'd be ready to go, and you'd be ready to say goodbye to Danielle Hunter as well.
Because the other pass rushers in that area, it's a little too, like, I don't know, Cassius Howell, it's like a little too pass rush only kind of specialist guy.
Yeah.
Mezidor, who I like, is just
older.
He's just old. So, like, you know, he's as old as Danielle Hunter. So
he's
not really a succession player.
Yeah. College wise, he's as old
like
as Danielle
24.
Hunter. Yeah. It's the version, like, Danielle Hunter is a great pass rusher, but up there in age.
Yeah.
Mezidor fills out that role as far as college is concerned. Keldrick Falk is. You mentioned Cassius Howell, pass rush only. Keldrick Falk, 276 pounds, so certainly not a guy you would think wouldn't be able to hold up in the run game. So if you're looking for flash, that might be as flashy as it gets, a pass rusher that you can put in line to be one of your backup pass rushers and also a guy you see as a future starter.
And we talk about the offensive line and how, you know, it's not inspiring whenever they pick an offensive lineman because of their track record. The end. You know what? I'll hear him out. I'll hear him out.
Yeah.
I'll see.
That's another spot where I'm like, you know what? I'll trust you on this.
The last guy they picked to the first round that's a pass rusher is now going to be the highest paid defensive player of all time. So
yeah, there's some
that seems good.
There are some things we can take issue with and certainly make our jokes about their selections. But when it comes to DN, hey, you got what many people consider, if Myles Garrett didn't exist, the best defensive end in football, maybe the best defensive player period in football. I'll give a benefit of the doubt to the Texans when it comes to that.
Yeah, hey, it's worked out.
Clearly, yes.
It's worked out.
So much so that you were willing to give him all the money, and rightfully so. You know what? We will come back with someone we haven't heard from in a little bit because local broadcast teams don't do playoff games. Ryan Hollins was interviewed and talked about Kevin Durant and has what he believes is an assessment of why you're not seeing the best of Kevin Durant. We'll get to that when we come back. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls. You want to talk draft, you want to talk Rockets. If you want to applaud Pete Lambert or Peter Lambert, if you don't know who that is because you missed the first part of the segment of this opening to the show, we'll explain because he was good in Cleveland for the Astros and helped them take that series. But when we come back, Rockets analyst Ryan Hollins, he joined the Run It Back podcast, video podcast. I don't know exactly what to call these things when they're on video. I'm just going to call it a podcast or a TV or internet show, streaming
talk show,
whatever. Maybe that's the term for it. But he joined that show. It was him. It was Michelle Beatles, Boogie Cousins, Chandler Parsons, Bobby Portis joined them as well. But they were talking about KD in this Rocket series, and we'll hear from Ryan Hollins when we get back.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Now.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So last year, the Rockets played the old enemy, the Warriors, and that's going to get us excited. That franchise has been in the Rockets' way from achieving the ultimate goal quite a bit over the last 10 years. It was seeing Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr, all that together, plus those uniforms, memories. But the level of attention you get from playing the Warriors pales in comparison to the level of attention everyone pays to you when you're playing the Lakers. You throw in, you have your own superstar in Kevin Durant, and it's a reason that Alperen Şengün is getting slandered the way he is, whether it be from actual media sources or just fans creating compilations of the worst moments of his first two games, or even going back throughout the season and finding things they think is funny. We talked about it. The level of eyes on the Rockets was going to go to a different level because the Lakers are involved, and LeBron is too. According to the guy who calls himself Sports on TV guy, take it for what it is, viewership for all the series from the weekend, the Rockets, Lakers surpass any other series. Most eyes on that series. And we saw it because of our rooting interests. For anyone who was a unbiased observer.
A passerby?
Yeah, just NBA basketball. The Rockets player, KD, is playing. Or at least not game one, he wasn't playing. But the Rockets are playing. LeBron's playing. I'm going to watch. They all got a taste of what was our misery, particularly on Tuesday night, because we were up late watching Marcus Smart hit jumper after jumper in the first quarter, and that continuing as the Lakers take game two to go up 2-0. Well, KD didn't play in game one. He did play in game two. And I had the thought that if this wasn't the regular season, when would KD actually be playing, considering it's a patellar injury that Shams told us about? Rockets analyst Ryan Hollins joined Chandler Parsons and Bobby Portis from Shell Beetle on the Run It Back show. And he has an assessment of where KD is health-wise and why we should be praising him for what he did in game two.
When KD has the ball, he wants to go and score the basketball. And to answer your question, we cannot fairly evaluate. You're watching Kevin Durant, and I'm no medical expert. I didn't talk to our people. He looks like he's about 70 to 80%. You're not seeing the best of Kevin Durant. So let's put that in the air right now as everybody wants to evaluate and say who's better, who's doing like this. Like KD's unbelievable to have. Look, bro, to have 20 in the first half on half a leg right now, man, he's different, man.
While getting double teamed, by the way.
Yeah, let's certify that, dog.
As you mentioned, Sean, during a break, a lot of ex-Rockets or Rockets affiliates, Ryan Hollins being the affiliate, calling the games, but Boogie, Chandler Parsons. Nope, Bobby Portis never played for the Rockets. I'm sure he might have nearly fought Amen Thompson at some point. I'm sure that's in the cards, but he's never actually been a Rocket.
Yeah, and he's filling in for Lou Williams.
Yeah, so yeah.
He's a Rocket.
Yeah, Michelle Beadle's a noted Rocket, maybe not hater, but not a fan. She's a Spurs fan, so there's at least a Southwest division connection there. So is KD healthy? I would say no. I don't know if it's 70 or 80%. But I firmly believe if the games weren't as important, he would have missed multiple games, maybe a week or so. But he's got to go out there and try to will this team to get back in the series. We'll talk about it more tomorrow because the game is tomorrow. But I'm not doing the legacies on the line thing because I think it's ridiculous involving KD. But a lot of questions are being asked and need to be answered Friday night. If the unthinkable happens and you're down 3-0 to this hampered Lakers squad, it's not to the level of other teams in the past where you're saying, let's tear down this blueprint. The Rockets don't have to bend to the will of the masses. They just don't get the attention of other teams. So even if people are calling for changes, they'll ignore it because it's the first round of the playoffs and there's a lot more basketball to discuss. But internally, if you're somehow down 3-0 to this Laker team, I think they'll have more fortitude than to start questioning their entire vision of the build. But just you would start to look at players and go, huh, this is now 10 playoff games with some of these guys. And our best answers are, of course, KD and Fred when he was the here last year. This is the Fred VanVleet's the only reason they didn't get knocked out in five last year. If he is not around, or he was just the Fred that we had known previously, he didn't turn into Toronto Raptors Fred on their championship run. They're out in five. The core, who we have made fun of because people tried to make an eight-man young core, and we saw how silly that was when they traded one of them right after last year's failure. Those guys have to be better. Whatever it is, because we've talked about how Alperen aside, because he wasn't a top five pick, maybe you found bad luck because Wimby wasn't your guy, or you couldn't get Paolo or Chet. You had to get Jabari. You couldn't get Cade because you didn't have the number one overall pick.
Couldn't get Stephon Cat.
Well, you could have had Stephon Castle.
Couldn't have Zachary Recession. Yeah,
thankfully, that was a positive.
Dodged a bullet.
Yeah, dodged a bullet. Zachary Recession ain't playing, and his team is tied 1-1 with the Knicks. So
yeah,
however it comes about, the guys that you did take. Game three has to be one where those guys show up, because how do you go through what would now be 10 playoff games and not find a star performance amongst the guys who are still around? Jalen had his star performance, but he's gone. He did it in game two. But if you go through 10 playoff games and the guys you are counting on to help you be a great team beyond the Kevin Durant years don't have one of those performances, even if it's collectively. I don't know if I need 40 or 30 points from one of those guys, but you just go down the box score. Oh, Jabari had 20. Amen had 20 and 8 and 8 or whatever it might be. And Alpi exploded for 30 on good efficiency. If that doesn't happen and you're still leaning on an older player who might be 70 or 80%, according to Ryan Hollins, what are we doing? Those guys I don't want to rank them because I've already done it. Alpi's not their second best player. That's Amen Thompson. But collectively, the big pieces of your rotation have to be more impactful than they have been. Leaning on Kevin Durant to save you, which he's more than capable of, doesn't do anything for me. Doesn't move me when it comes to the projections for this team. I would much rather have those three guys and throw in Reed Sheppard be the catalyst for a win and Kevin Durant have an off game than the alternative of Kevin Durant saving you before Luke Kennard puts you in a 3-0 hole.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's not like blueprint blow-up time, but major renovations, because, you know, you could sit there and say, well, you know, like you said, Fred VanVleet, no Fred VanVleet, you know, that last year he was at least the most consistent playoff piece, consistently good playoff piece. And this year, you don't have him, blah, blah, blah. We've all, you know, Rafael Stone's actually talked about it.
Yeah, we've done all that.
But, like, you just can't have this many. And, like, have, I don't know, like, two. I have Alperen Şengün's last year's game logs up. It's, like, two good games on good efficiency.
I don't know if you've seen.
There's a 31-point game with shooting 42%. I'm not quite ready to give him that.
But because we love the data, Dredge, Alperen Şengün, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, and Larry Bird, the only people to ever average 20, 10, and 5.
He did have good, box score game
in the playoffs. They're the four players to have to average 20, 10, and 5.
But yeah, it's a real, like, I mean, Şengün, you keep playing like this, like, either die a hero, live long enough to become Jalen Green. This year's Jalen Green. This offseason's Jalen Green. Like, that's what we're talking about, where it's like, all right, well, might be the last chance to, like, use him as a piece in a star trade before it turns into, like, you know, you offer him to another team, and they're, okay, whatever.
And what else are you offering?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a nice sweetener.
Yeah, we go from two-time all-star centerpiece of a superstar trade to...
Yeah.
We're going to need more.
Yeah.
We're going to need plenty more to get this deal done.
Some of that's just due to, you know, he was drafted in 2021. So, you know, he's a little bit farther along, his career than Thompson, who was drafted in 23, and Sheppard, who was drafted in 24. But there is, like, a, you know, not a ticking time clock. I mean, arguably there is, 'cause, I mean, you probably should at some point, barring like a huge breakout from, I would even say, just Shingun and Thompson. Like, that's the only like realistic, like, okay, this, you know, based off of these last six or five, hopefully four, maybe, games against the Lakers. Okay, we got our star. Because, like, you know, with all due respect to Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, and Reed Shepard, like, it's not really much they could do that in these four games that you're like, ah, centerpiece of this team. Like, it's just the sample size would be too small. It is a Shingun Thompson, like, all right, you know, kind of prove something, prove that it should be on the Shingun Thompson timeline, and KD, Fred VanVleet are ancillary pieces around that, very good ancillary pieces. Or if you don't, well, if I'm Rafael Stone, well, we're on the Kevin Durant, Fred VanVleet timeline. Not these guys.
I don't want to hear.
I'm going to lose my job before these guys come through.
I don't want to hear the Fred VanVleet timeline. That should not be.
I mean, I just lumped
I know what
in
you're
there.
Saying, but that is not a timeline I want to be a part of. No, I want no. an alternate timeline. If that's the main timeline that we're in, which it feels like it is, considering all the conversations. Fred's esteem and the respect for Fred VanVleet never could have been higher. Yes, thank you. thank you, Dr. Strange.
32-year-old point guard coming off of a torn ACL.
The best thing that happened to Fred's stature in this league is the fact that he missed an entire season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the Rockets on-off numbers with Fred VanVleet. It's just been like, wow, legacy defined. You know what? It's been a legacy season for Fred VanVleet. I'll say it.
And someone who does a podcast with Fred is Big Sarge. You can hear Big Sarge along with DJ Bianime.
Yeah.
Starting at noon today. They're going to be at Nick's place, which you should go because you should go there. Jeremy and Joe will follow them because it's draft season. Well, it's the first day of the draft as we are maybe now done with draft season because the draft is actually here. Yeah. They're going to get you ready for the draft. Nick's going to give you a couple surprises, and I'm going to let you know about that when we come back. So it's time. The draft is here. Go out to Knicks, get yourself ready, get some good food, listen to the guys talk about the draft, and then watch the draft at Knicks. You never know what Nick Caserio is up to. He may be cooking something up, according to people Lance has talked to, and Tom Pelissero as well. So it could be an exciting day for the Texans as far as movement is concerned. Who they pick, maybe you get excited, maybe you don't. So we'll keep you updated. If we hear anything about the Texans' plans before we're done, but you're going to have 6 hours to get ready out at Nick's place. Before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And while John and Lance may play on Billy Brown's name, I will not. All you need to know about Billy Brown's company is if you need a great plumbing company, they're the people for you. Check out what they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Now, like mentioning the website, mostly because it is your one-stop shop to find out what they have to offer. I always like to mention that services menu because as soon as you see the homepage, you can just hover your mouse over the services tab. That drop-down menu shows up, and you see all the things they provide, whether it be something to do with water filters or leak detection. Maybe you're looking for a contractor. All there for you. And then they've got something that you may need to look out for if you have an older home, a repipe. They're the premier repiping company in Houston. So if you got a big problem or maybe you want to avoid a big problem, you like being preventative. You don't like to wait for something to happen. You want to get it done before something major happens. They're there for you. Experienced contractors who have done over 1,000 of these. So you've got expertise and experience rolled into one at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238 to get in touch with the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Get yourself a free quote. You know you got a problem, but you don't know how much it costs, and you don't want to be charged for figuring out how much it costs. They're the people for you as well. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the performance of Pete Lambert because he's doing something when it comes to making guys swing and miss that would have him in a spot to measure him up against not starting pitchers, but some of the best closers in the game. But, well, we have one who's unavailable. And as you have seen all year, Astros starting pitching is desperate for anyone who can get outs and go longer than four innings. So Pete Lambert has a spot in this rotation until proven otherwise. And he rewarded the Astros and their faith with his performance yesterday. So we'll hear from him, we'll hear from Espada, and I'll give you those numbers and where he lands in reference or in comparison to some of the best closers in baseball. But let's get to Keith here. He wants to talk about the draft. What's up, Keith?
Hey, while you mentioned the Astros, the Phillies just released Taijuan Walker, struggling pitcher. I think that's a guy the Astros should definitely look at on the cheap. You know, the Phillies aren't good this year. The entire roster is too old. Taijuan Walker could easily be in this rotation. In terms of the NFL draft.
Hold on. You started it with saying struggling pitcher. Now, I get it. The Astros are beggars. But why would they want to add a struggling pitcher?
It's just a change of scenery, a fresh start. Like, Taijuan Walker can give you innings. Like, you've got 16 players on the IL. Why wouldn't you sign this guy if he's currently
he's atrocious.
Ready to go.
He's not ready to go. He stinks. The Phillies let him go. He's bad this year.
He's not atrocious.
He's been atrocious this year. You know what? He would fit right in with the Astros with how bad he's been. What are you talking about? He's bad. He's bad. Look, your Lucas Giolito thing was better. You don't not. Well, how many innings would he
go?
But Keith, how many innings would he go if he's got an ERA over 9?
The Astros only have 5 or 6 games where they've even hit 6 innings.
You don't need to alert me, we all know they're bad, but he's not going to go deep into games because he's awful too.
Taijuan Walker hasn't had a 6-inning start this season.
No, because he's bad. So, yes, the standard is low, but it doesn't have to be him. Your Lucas Giolito thing has more relevance because we hadn't seen him pitch, and the Padres have him now.
Giolito's off the table, and Imai's just trying to get some omakase in the city. Houston, Javier and Brown are out till the summer.
I know Giolito's not available, but my point was at least he hadn't been atrocious this year. This guy stinks. The Phillies stink. We can't go, well, the Phillies suck, so that's why it's gone bad. Part of the reason they stink is because he's been terrible. I get it. The Astros are desperate, but I'll take the Pete Lamberts, who I'd never heard of, who was bad in Japan.
Of course, Lambert had a good start, but like Taijuan Walker can be on this roster. There's 6 or 7 guys who you couldn't pick them out in the lineup. Why not have Taijuan Walker on the team? Veterans do make a significant impact on teams.
He is not good. If he had been out of baseball and you decided that's an option, I would agree because. They are desperate.
You want a guy who's in baseball. It's seldom that guys get signed off the street, even though that's what I like. But this guy has already gone through spring training, and I believe he pitched in the World Baseball Classic, and he's pitched the first month of the season. He doesn't need a lot of buildup.
The only reason you want Taijuan Walker is because everyone would be comfortable with him because he's just as bad as they are.
He's in shape. News broke 5 minutes ago. He's ready to go.
He leads the league in losses and earned runs.
He's a fresh start. He'll fit right in.
I don't know why a fresh start's going to mean much. He still has to go out there and get people out. I get it. New uniform, new face, new place. Or old face, new place, he's still got to go do the job and get people out, which is not something he's proven to be able to do. And the Phillies are like, hey, we'd love for you to get people out, but you haven't. So now the Astros might sign him. I get it. He's got pelts on the wall from the past, but the pelts are rotten as it stands right now.
Why not sign some veterans? You love a veteran.
Let's go to your draft question. What topic about the draft would you like to get into?
Left and right.
I'm sorry I even indulged because now he won't let it go. Keith, what's your draft question or comment?
My draft question is why is everybody mocking Ty Simpson to the Cardinals in a weak QB class when they have an efficient quarterback in Brissett? They're supposed to tank. They're supposed to be bad. They have Minshew as a backup as well. They got 2 veteran guys who are efficient. Why are they going to waste a late first round pick on Ty Simpson when they're just going to tank and be in the running for arch next year? Why not build the offensive line and the defensive line and just just skip quarterback entirely? Why does Ty Simpson have to go to the Cardinals? Why can't he just go to another team if they're projected to be in the arch running? I don't get that.
The hope of a young quarterback, no matter what people believe him to be, always draws these conversations. It's a one quarterback draft, at least in the first round. And Ty Simpson, despite Dan Orlovsky's best efforts, has never really been taken seriously by most as a real option for a team who thinks they need a franchise quarterback this year. It's just the next best guy, and someone has to take him. So the thought is the Cardinals will take a swing, and because it would be either a low first-round pick if they trade back into the draft, the first round, or they take him early in the second, they can get off of him pretty quickly. We're saying, remember what they did with Josh Rosen? They drafted him early and then got away from him because of how bad he was because they wanted Kyler Murray. So it really is all about the philosophy of this team. They got a new coach. The GM, though, survived the purge. So if you're the GM of the Cardinals and you're trying to sell, hey, I deserve to be here, the promise of Ty Simpson, if we're talking about this, the save your own ass scenario, the promise of Ty Simpson, and you draft him and he plays the back half of the season and he shows some promise, you go, hey, this is my guy. This is what the Giants try to do. And they're like, we're still going to make Harbaugh our guy. So that's the only thing I see, unless they have a different opinion of this next quarterback class, because we hear quite a bit that the next quarterback class could be a good one. We thought Dante Moore would be a part of this class. He said no. There are some people, even though the granddad put water on that fire before it really got started, that Arch could have been in this class, right? Last year was his third year in the program. So there was a thought that you could have an Arch Manning starting 1 year and then being great and being in the class. Dante Moore, there are others that people thought of. You know, Drew Aller, who this show has had its fun with, thought he could have been a first-round pick. Yeah. That was the thought. So do the Cardinals, if they like him, I don't know that they do, but that's the speculation. If they like him, are they going to play the game of going, hey, 2027 class is great, when we just did this thing with the 2026 class and that fell apart? And Fernando Mendoza kind of came out of nowhere to become the guy that was the number one overall pick.
And, you know, you can draft him.
And if it's not good,
if you're that bad, just draft a quarterback.
You can move on.
Jimmy Clausen got picked in the second round in 2010. He was so bad that they got the number one pick, and Cam Newton.
And perhaps if they're playing chess, as they say, not checkers. If you don't think Ty Simpson's good, you want to guarantee yourself the number one overall pick.
And Keith said the Cardinals have efficient starters in Brissett and
it actually
Minshew.
Flies
they might
in
be
the face.
Too good.
It actually flies in the face of your thoughts, Keith. If they have two efficient quarterbacks, you love a veteran. They may win some games the Cardinals don't want to win.
Yeah, good. Ty Simpson out.
I mean, you don't, if you could you could avoid doing it in the first round, cool. If there are multiple teams who want to tank this year and think Ty Simpson can guarantee that, you may have to do a little dance. But if you think you could be in line for the first overall pick and you don't think Ty Simpson's any good, draft him. And then you'll play him. You'll be bad, and now you're in line to take Arch or who else would it be?
Dante Moore,
Whoever kind of shows out this 2026 college football season, you never really know. So there are variables in line. Coach who's a first-year guy, but GM who's been around and trying to save his job, there are reasons why the Cardinals would do it. The unlikely one is they're going to draft them because they want to suck. That's just this show's theory, because we don't think much of Ty Simpson.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I feel like I've seen some more Steelers at 21.
I've seen that too, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're just the team that like most obviously needs a quarterback. If this was a two quarterback class, they would be picking
real,
a quarterback.
A real two quarterback class.
They would be picking quarterback at number three.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It is a one quarterback class, so they have to take Jeremiah Love, whoever they take.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that I don't know. The day of the draft, I immediately lose all interest in mock drafts and like we're hearing XYZ, because it all goes out the window in what, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever it is.
Around there, 8 hours.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we'll find out by tonight if he's an Arizona Cardinal, or we won't. He might not get drafted in the first round. That's the level of quarterback that we're talking about. Like, he's not even good enough to definitively to be a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to block if Arch is that good, if Dante Moore's top five good, if, you know, Mensah, Sam Levitt,
whoever it might be that catches people's eye.
Yeah, like, if he's that good, or if Ty Simpson was that good that he blocked these guys, A, you're not going to have a top five pick. B, he would be in the first round already.
I would agree, unless he's a giant surprise that everyone's misevaluating, which would be the Dan Orlovsky theory. But until proven otherwise, you could take him and guarantee you would be bad. Or even if he is average enough, you could still go draft the guy. There's not a lot, at least from my perspective, of upside with Ty Simpson that's going to keep you from doing anything you want as far as a quarterback position is concerned in 2027.
Yeah.
If you're the Cardinals, just, particularly because of how their roster is built right now.
Just don't draft Jeremiah Love, number three.
Well, I mean, if they do want the top pick in the draft, what did the Raiders do?
Sure, yeah.
They took Ginty, and look what happened.
You know what? It did work for the Raiders.
Yeah, so there are ways to try to guarantee yourself a spot, and drafting a running back that high probably helps.
So if we're playing Madden, this is what we do. We draft Jeremiah Love, number three overall.
Sure.
Trade back into the first round, so you don't have to give up any serious compensation. Then you get Ty Simpson. Got it. That's my Aiden O'Connell and Ashton Ginty from last year. That's my 1-2 combo. That's getting me the number one pick.
I mean, you could even take a low round guy.
Not drafting any defense.
Who started games last year. I don't want to throw you or your man under the bus. But hey, you want a young developmental quarterback in the pipeline who probably won't start but did start games last year. Throw a day three pick at the Dolphins for Quinn Ewers. Day three pick. Yeah.
It's a little light. All right. I mean, might not win the bidding war on that one.
Okay. You grab him as a guy who started games for you. You want to take a shot, and you really don't have any baggage about what to do in the first round next year. There are always ways to, hey, young quarterback, try to get the people excited, but he won't be that good because you drafted Jeremiah Love at three.
when you need
all these
more offensive lines,
all these other things. Yeah, follow the Raiders plan. I was trying to find a comp for Aiden O'Connell, and I was just, hey, Quinn Ewers, not much different.
We'll see. Well, how many games did Purdue win? Huh?
That's true. But to your
point, when they make the playoff.
But to
what year?
But
what year?
To push,
I've not been watching.
But to push back on we'll see. The Dolphins don't want to see.
Yeah,
they don't. I don't know where we'll see it at, but the Dolphins aren't planning on that.
Safe to say that the next time Quinn Ewers makes a start in the NFL, the team won't be like psyched that it's happening.
Not his current team, certainly.
Not going to be psyched that it's like, hey, we're starting this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he may start a preseason game, but to your point, in a regular season game, the Dolphins wouldn't be psyched about it. Maybe not another team, unless they're trying to secure the number one overall pick. All right, hour one done. Thanks for the call, Keith. And Tywon Walker.
He had a 7 ERA in 2024.
He hasn't been good for throughout the last 3 years, right? Yeah. And the Phillies, who aren't
the
good.
The year in the middle was a 4 ERA year.
So not great. And the Phillies, who stink, were like, get out of here. But yes, bring him on. Because he's warmed up and he's built up. Not warmed up enough or built up enough to go more than five innings. But he has pitched on the major league level before. Please, this is a Pete Lambert city. What are you talking about? We'll hear from him. And we'll hear from Joe Spada on Peter Lambert when we come back. But before we go to break, to close at hour one, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. You've heard me talk about they've extended truck month. It was in March. They're still giving you those great deals now in April. We're getting to late April. So if you're looking for a vehicle, particularly a truck, and you want it at a great price, you go to Monument Chevrolet and check out their entire inventory and see. I just went to the website. You can see right now, truck month. And you see the Silverados, the Colorados available. Whether you're looking for the EV or the 1500 Silverado, you see the deal right in front of you on what you can get because they are looking to give you a great deal and a great vehicle. Take advantage of that today. If you're not looking for a truck, you can scroll down a little bit and look at their view our lineup section and look at some of the SUVs, the electric vehicles, or maybe a Corvette is more your style. It's all there for you. No matter what it is, the price will be great, and then you can head on out there. Then Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And once you get on the lot, you're going to notice it's not going to be very high pressure. But you can ask for Jeff. He's their point person. He's their general manager. He'll answer any questions you have. And then you can talk to one of the salespeople. And a lot of those people have been around quite a bit because they feel like a family there, and they'll treat you like one as well as soon as you step on the lot to find a great vehicle for yourself or maybe for a loved one. So it's all about family there. They've been in business for over 50 years, which means they've been selling cars to people in the community for a very long time. You should be next. Go to MonumentChevrolet.com, find the car, find the deal, then go to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225 and get your car today. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.